Welcome to Cobras and Fire, the vinyl edition. Today we share our record collections and discuss our obsession with the beauty and the expense of an outdated and inconvenient format. Feel the warmth, people.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the stylist, Dick Bacco. How are you, sir?
Stylist Dick, huh? I'm not sure if that's a compliment or an insult, but I'm well. How are you this morning, Loose Cannon,
LC? I am excellent. Thank you for asking, but maybe I didn't hit that right. Maybe that was a wrong term, too. Stylistic. It's a pun. It's a pun about
word. Stylist Dick.
Stylistic.
It's pretty good, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, stylist Dick would definitely. I think we just came out with a new insult.
Well, it seems like you're kind of leading off a little bit. It's a hint at what we're talking about today. What are we getting into, LC?
Oh my God, we are going to be talking some vinyl. I'm not sure if anybody knows out there, but I have been for the last close to 24 months, we'll say at this point, I've been brought back into the vinyl game. I am a big fan of inconvenient, expensive, outdated formats.
Yeah, you're an inspiration to a lot of us.
Thank you. Yes, I know. I'm starting to try.
Can I speak for Craig Smith and say you kind of helped him get back into it a little bit?
You motherfucker.
I think so.
Inspired him in some way or another. But, myself, of course.
Sure. I think I inspired him to get rid of his entire Kiss collection out of disgust. Maybe that was something else, but I like to claim credit for that one.
I'm going to let you have it, but it's really not my call.
What's the transition
so
from
today
there?
We're getting into what? We're talking what? The records we picked up this year, kind of share some of this stuff, unbox them a little bit, show the beauty that is vinyl. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I figured this would be kind of like freewheeling Bob Dylan, you know what I mean? We would just kind of just go and not feature any Bob Dylan and just kind of talk about vinyl in general, talk about my you can prove many times that I'm a noob and that I have some theories that are completely wrong, man, and all that kind of stuff.
Sometimes.
And I figured you could give me some advice that I'll ignore, you know, and things like that. And you can kind of, I guess maybe if you didn't have a different starting point, I can just talk about what grabbed me and has made me spend way too much money on this.
From
a noob's perspective. Okay. So, you know, as I mentioned, like I really haven't had any vinyl since like 1990, when my house burnt down. Do you remember that story? Has anybody heard that before?
I've heard it before. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the vinyl, it was a little warped after that. So I just, you know, I was a CD man at that point. I had moved on, Bacco. And then I've, you know, as you know, I'm a man of convenience, of streaming, of renting. I lease to own.
And as a matter of fact, you just sent me a screenshot last night of a brand new remaster remix record that you listen to streaming, because that's the best way to appreciate all that effort in making it sound better.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I download it locally for the remixes. Just so you know.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Well, I'll go into that too about the whole sound quality, because that's something that's driven me absolutely batshit about some of these vinyls. But in general, like just you know, my mission that went completely sideways at first was, here's a way that I can, in all seriousness, support the smaller acts, bands, things like that. I said like a commitment. I'm going to buy the top 5 or 10 albums per year from smaller artists. If you recall this, maybe a rough mission statement from a year or two ago. Does that sound right?
I do.
Okay.
Yep.
And so that's kind of because I do stream responsibly for the most part. I do buy things, and I don't really want to spend my money on, let's just call it, a $35 AC/DC album from Target. Not there's anything wrong with that, but that was my idea. No. That I was going to spend it on, and that quickly spiraled out of control. Why don't you just new albums? Just put a guess on. I don't think I told you this number already. How many albums do you think that I have? And realize that starting point was zero as of February of 2019. New.
50? 50?
This doesn't include the 30 from the Craigslist basement either.
Right, you said new ones.
Okay. Yeah. It's like 75.
Okay.
Which mostly, I would say, in the last, I think that probably 40 or 50 of those are from the last 6 months COVID. I call it COVID vinyl. And I would like to know if I guarantee there's an increase in there's an increase in online purchasing anyway. But I don't know, there's something about that thing that all of us look for a certain purchase that really amped up during, just isolation and wanting that euphoria or whatever, those endorphins when you open up that new purchase. Would you say there's any validity in general for that?
Absolutely! Pulling the shrink wrap off. I'll touch on the COVID thing. I bought way less vinyl because there was no record stores open. And I recently, it's a fairly recent thing where I actually said, you know what, I'm intentionally not going to buy things online, and with certain exceptions. I mean, but for the most part, 99% of what I get, I'm going to buy. I'm going to just get it at a store. I'm definitely staying away from Amazon. Again, there might be a reason I can't get it somewhere else, or it's something that I really want and it just popped up and it's limited availability, that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm trying to put a little bit more of my money where my mouth is, and not just help the bands, but help the actual record stores, during kind of these lean times too. But because that's kind of what Record Store Day was done to do when that started 10 years ago, is to help these independent record stores when people kind of slowly were stopped buying music altogether, with the death of the CD and all that stuff. Don't tell Mitch LaFon or Eddie Trunk, but the CD is pretty much, it's a dead format. But
okay.
Although I bought the new AC/DC on CD. Sounds great.
Funny you should say that. That is one that I was going to make an exception on, because, we're probably going to bounce a little bit, but why don't we... I'll just say a little bit about that. I'm not sure if I need to hear AC/DC on vinyl, at least not new AC/DC.
Yeah.
Maybe Bon Scott, but I think that certain bands are designed maybe to have the CD versus the vinyl, and that's what you need for that type. But I'll go into that too. But can we go back to the record stores?
Yeah.
Okay. We're actually, for those listening to it on the podcast format, which I'm sure most of you are, we actually are recording this video-wise. Should we mention that too, if you want to see some of the actual things we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go to our YouTube page. We'll put it in the show notes. You can watch kind of along as we unbox some of these things.
Yeah.
So to speak. They're actually I assume yours are all actually already opened, but
we can go into that, like the whole OCD or stuff like that. But do you leave the shrink wrap on, or the hype stickers and all that? But like, you bust my balls about the fact that, you actually went to a record store. Every time I say something like that, you're like shocked that they actually would frequent such an establishment.
You're leaving out a big part of it. It's like, I tried. I went to a record store. Nothing. They had nothing I wanted except for this one thing that I kind of wanted, but it was $28. It's on Amazon for $18, free shipping. So, yeah, it was a shock when you actually went into a store and came out with, I don't know, you had a decent stack that you showed me.
I did, yeah. So I've the record store thing, what I've decided is, first off, for whatever reason, I finally found one that I felt good about giving my money to. And I never feel good about giving my money to Amazon or a big box, but I'm saying, like, there is this place called,
I know what you're saying.
There's a place called Angelo's, and there's a place called Wax Tracks that's in Denver. And there's really not that many for a big city record stores here. And both of them were if they're owned by the same people, then these people have gone evil. Because seriously, like every single thing is like $30. It's almost like challenging you to buy their fucking stuff. You know what I mean? And the people there, it just wasn't a good vibe. Then I went to this place called Twist and Shout Records. Could not endorse it more. And this place looks like the most well-funded place of all of them. And oddly enough, it's the most natural place you could feel. And this place was my utopia. I probably spent 4 hours there within a matter of 2 weeks. And I was like, I cannot believe it. This is the place I think you went to with Wilson. That whole thing that you're talking about, I finally had that back. And I have not had that anywhere in forever. And it just going through everything, here's the thing too. The stores that you go to, do they have the used and the new in the same bin, or do they have them separated in different sections?
Typically separated if they offer both. And I should touch on that too. I do live in in the Twin Cities here, and I know what, not everybody lives in a metropolitan, so maybe online purchasing is your only way to go. I know Discogs is another option out there. If you literally, you can probably find anything you want on there. But I get that. I actually, there is a ton of options here in the Twin Cities of places that I'll visit to, somewhat, pretty frequently, I guess. You know what I mean? If I really wanted to fight the mob on record store days, there is at least a dozen great locations that participate and have a really good selection. So it isn't like that everywhere. I understand that. So without turning too snooty, if you're living in the middle of, Idaho in some small town, you might need to lean on internet shopping more than I have the luxury of not needing to. So I'm not going to.
Right. And then these other places, too, just seem to not also lean on any kind of hard rock. And I know your whole thing about, I'm not talking about just the used, that people don't give them back, which is, that's a really cool theory, too, because I do believe that's true. That's why there's not so many, but there's 1,000 R&B records there.
The results are what they are, Luce.
Yeah, no, it's right. It's called data. But so that was part of it too. It just wasn't. So anyway, so I that place is great. Fair prices, even if it's a few bucks more, it's not $10 more on everything that you would find there. So I have started to do that. And I will tell you too, as far as the whole use and combining the technology is, do your local stores have their own Discog section, I assume, too, or not?
Not to my knowledge, but I haven't really dug into that.
So. Okay, so that was so this one close to Twist and Shout has their own Discog where you can actually see what they have if it's brand new and then come in and reserve it and then pick it up, not pay for shipping or whatever.
So did you set up a Discogs account when I first talked to you about it? You seem very, not your thing.
I didn't think of it as... nor did I know these independent stores would have this as pretty much their online store, saying, here's what's brand new. And that I just called them and said, hold these albums.
When I was talking to you about it, I was more like getting into, because Craig Smith was breaking it down for me. I didn't realize you add your own collection and it helps maintain just, I don't know, like a current value of what your collection is worth, like a low end, a medium, and a high end,
Oh, that's pretty cool too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you and I talked about. It had absolutely nothing to do with shopping. So I'm not sure where you said, well, that's why you seem. I know what it is. It's because I was talking and you just tuned out and said.
I hear it from you and Craig. And then later it hits me of the usefulness of the knowledge that you're presenting. Yeah.
Well, and then you'll ask Joey Haney as if you have no input at all. And then he'll say it. And then then you're all in.
Usually when I hear it from at least five different people, the last person's when I finally decide to listen. That's what.
Yeah. When it comes to okay, fair enough.
I mean, that's pretty much what it said on any of my evaluations, employee wise, school wise, anything like that that's pretty much my review. After the fifth time, he fucking listens. It says at the end of every report.
Nice. That's your performance review. They just basically, one employer to the next just kind of forwards it on.
That's right. It says, you may have to do this review five times. Just set it up. Say the same thing every year. Year five, he listens.
Right on.
Anyway, I know we're kind of bouncing over the place, so I'm going to throw it back to you. So that's yes, I totally agree. You should support. You want to get that experience. You want to do that. Mm-hmm. I just think more stores, and I get the fact that they have so much more cost involved, but have the selection, and then just be cool, man.
There are some stores around here that don't really cater to the stuff I buy, but
there you go.
Fortunately, a handful that do. You know what I mean? Cheapo Records actually has a really large hard rock and metal new vinyl selection plus a gigantic used selection. So that's one of the stores locally. Near me is a place called Barely Brothers, which oddly enough is a place where I could find a decent selection of Kiss 45s kind of cycling through. I'm not sure what their pipeline is there, that they're the one place, but
yeah, you want to just kind of go to the next thing. I'm not sure how many people are listening to us on vinyl today. So, maybe we
should release this episode on vinyl for Record Store Day.
That's right. What an odd thing, too, for me, by the way, is the, if I could just go into that, too, is actually looking at the list of things that are put out for record stores. Some of the things, you're like, okay, that makes sense. Some of the things, like, who wants this? Like the most random soundtracks, right? The oddest shit. And every time I would go to these places, since I've been introduced to this, the last two record store days, they're like, here's the last record store day, and here's the last record store day, and here's what didn't sell. And I'm like, no shit. Why the fuck did you buy any of this stuff? And it's all, it never leaves. Right, there's always that old record store day selection.
Yeah, I've gotten some stuff from that didn't sell too well, but you know, it was like half off a year later. You know, I bought like a Matthew Sweet live record, which is actually really good. Maybe they just printed too many of that one, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the Ghostbusters soundtrack for some reason,
or like on a Stripes, disc. The soundtrack for Stripes. Who's dropping the soundtrack for Stripes on there? Like, is there? I don't even remember any of the music from that. I like the movie, but who's going to be like, man, I just need to hear some of that soundtrack, some of that Stripes on vinyl.
Mm. Mm. Bill Elam. Bill Elam's buying it.
Okay, I'm sorry. See, I know there's a market for it.
Okay. For Brian Harris, maybe.
Yeah, like I need to hear the music that was playing during the mud wrestling scene in Stripes on vinyl.
Mm. That way you can kind of relive it.
Yeah,
in
sure.
Your memory, your spank bank. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's
what do we
it.
Got? What? How are we gonna do this? Just I got new and old, like some like everything from the last year, kind of the standout releases I picked.
Yeah, maybe we can start. We can get
used and new.
And maybe this will turn into the mini album version. Let's just see how this goes. If you're listening out there, we understand that there's a visual component that's missing here, so we'll it'll be bonus if you watch it on the video, but
we'll paint the picture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who goes first?
You can.
All right, well, I'm going to start with something that I found recently at one of the local half-price books. Now, this is something from my childhood. This is kind of an impulse buy that, I don't know, if it was priced too high, I would not have came home with me. But I am happy I got it, and it is Bob and Doug McKenzie, the Great White North.
Yes.
I had the cassette as a kid, not the vinyl. But yeah, I haven't even put it on the turntable since I got it home, but nothing special with the vinyl, just a pretty standard Mercury label there. But I don't know, this is more nostalgic than anything, but it's pretty cool.
I think I had that at one point too. I think I actually did have the vinyl, because I thought it was just so odd, the fact that it was like the second half is like just them. I mean, the whole album's pretty much them talking, right? But it's got songs on it and stupid shit like that.
Yeah, too. Like there's a song with Geddy Lee on here. Take off to the great white north.
Oh, take off. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Decent singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, right, because we're a band now. And, yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off!
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Hey, hose hand.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Oh, get out. It is not your
it
line.
It is so.
Stop I lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Oh, take off.
It's a beauty way to go, eh?
Lovely.
It's a beauty.
That's cool.
Doesn't this have the 12 Days of Christmas? Yeah,
that's the one.
Their 12 Days of Christmas is on here.
Yep, that's the one I remember having, too. Yeah, Strange Brew. Strange Brew.
Well, the Strange Brew was the movie. They have a record for that, too, but this is just a comedy album.
Right.
I think it was before the movie.
I heard that after watching the movie. So Strange Brew, out of five, I don't know, out of five Geddy Lees, how many Geddy Lees do you give it?
Six.
I give it 2.5. Not my thing. That when that guy drinks all the beer, that's kind of funny.
That was great. Elsinore?
Yeah, I might have to watch it again as an adult, but it didn't do that much for me. Maybe it's you're closer to Canada, so you maybe have the roots geographically. What do you think?
I also enjoy humor, so
obviously I don't from the reviews.
Anyway, I can't remember what I paid, you know, $5, $6, $7, something like that. Anyway,
okay. So there's a company called Runout Groove out there, a website that that does reissues of vinyls that basically, as it says, have not been out for quite a long time. And it's actually like a crowdfunded thing. So you pick what should be the next release, and then from pre-orders, they fund a certain amount, usually like 1,000 or 2,000. So with that said, I was alerted by Joey Haney, by the way. Never even heard of it before. And one of the albums that I really liked from early 2000s, Donna's Spend the Night. Point being is this thing, like as far as the cardboard, the quality, this is one of the heaviest ones that I have. And it's a double vinyl, yellow. It's got, I always thought the whole setup of this, back in the day with the CD was cool, with the whole 80s thing, seeing Freddie and everything on it. But it basically has an entire live album and outtakes for the second half. But I guess while I'm showing this, what did you think about this album? I thought it was like Kiss Dressed to Kill style for me.
When it first came out. The Donnas are a bit of a one-trick pony for me. Everything kind of sounds the same. If I had to pick one of their records, it would be Turn 21, which I think is the album right before that. Don't quote me on that, but they're all right. I don't know that like I said, they're kind of like soft punk. They're like a female version of Green Day that's kind of watered down. I don't know.
Yeah, I love this, and I love their album that came out after called Bitchin'. Actually, there's Gold Medal. Anyway, I'm a Donna's fan. They had a 3-album run. I actually don't like anything before, and then that was actually it. Have you ever heard Bitchin'? Bitchin', it was like an 80s tribute?
Yeah.
Okay. That was more like Def Leppard and stuff like that. But
man, yeah, I don't know what you hear when you hear Def Leppard.
They have a song that sounds exactly like, there's certain songs that are, hey, if you're listening to this, tell Baco that maybe he should listen again, because they have a lot of, there's ones that are Joan Jett, there's ones that are Def Leppard on that album. I'm talking about Bitchin'. Each one was a different zone. But this label, they do a bunch of things like, I think they did...
What is the label?
It's called Run Out Groove.
Oh, you said that. Okay.
Run Out Groove. And they even did like Typo Negative. I think Bloody Kisses was one of them they just did recently. But it's all this like random stuff, and it's kind of cool. So if you go there, you just sign up for free, you'll get the alerts and discount codes and stuff like that. It was like $30 all in, and very high quality pressing. So this is the kind of stuff that really took... is what I love about vinyl, is taking you back a little bit. So,
sure. Okay.
Next.
Well, you know, you talked about the hype sticker. Let me show you that real quick. This is how I personally handle it. Hold on one second, because I removed the sleeve.
So for those listening, before we do that, just for a pay a picture, is the first like year and a half, all I did was I would just get it like a savage, like a kid, and I'd just rip open the plastic and go forward. And then all of a sudden I... Like you're going to talk about your technique, is that little sticker that says, hey, this is what's on the album. What do you do with that?
I think anybody who's this far into the episodes knows what a hype sticker is. So.
All right, fine.
Otherwise, you don't give it. I mean, you probably checked out otherwise, but because it really only matters to dorks, people who get into this.
That's what this specific episode is for.
Yeah. So this Slipknot, All Hope Is Gone, it's the 10th anniversary edition. Hope I did that right. Yeah, 10. 19 and minus 9 is 10. Okay. But yeah, so the hype sticker there was on the original shrink wrap. And I, like a lot of collectors, I just put all these stuff in the bags. But I actually remove the sticker and then I tape it to the inside. I'll actually slice it off with a scissors or a blade. So like the actual backside is still got the plastic shrink wrap on it. It's not sticky.
Okay.
And then I just tape it in there so it stays with the thing. I don't know if that's great for collecting or not, but at least it's a way to keep it. But so I don't know. People familiar with Slipknot, this album All Hope Is Gone, this is an alternate cover kind of a different outtake shot of it. Got all this kind of random stuff going on there. It's on two records. It's mainly just the there isn't any bonus stuff on the vinyl, but it did come with a live CD of a show. So that was kind of like the bonus feature with this one.
Okay.
So I picked this up at I don't know, one of the record stores here locally earlier this year. You know, just because I don't know, I'm a fan of the record a lot, and it, I don't know, it's a really cool package too. I don't think it's colored vinyl. Let me just, it's been a while since I opened it. No, it's just standard black. You got the kind of little Slipknot star there on the sticker, but anyway,
that's cool. So you could, that you really get the warmth of Slipknot on vinyl, as I understand.
Yeah, you know what? I know where you're going with that, but this actually is an amazing sounding album. It's very well mastered. It's not one that I was disappointed with when I put it on the platter. Some of the metal, I don't know that I really need the vinyl warmth to it, but it works with this one.
So let's talk about that real quick. Do you think that there is a difference of, like, I keep seeing deals on Metallica's Master Puppets or a Megadeth album and stuff like that. We talk about thrash and stuff, and I'm like, you know, I'm just not sure that's what I'm going to be wanting to listen to, you know. And will there be any difference? Because some of it, maybe even the Megadeth side, because Megadeth's like so technical. If you think Rust in Peace, I'm like, what else of Megadeth? It's almost like, sometimes you equate, for me, at least for my ears, and this is where you can dispute this or not, there's such a technicality to that that actually adding vinyl to it might actually take away from it. Because I'm thinking
there
like
are
almost,
definitely times I agreed with your AC/DC one. I was like really not that interested in dropping that kind of money
for that part of it, record. Yeah, that too.
But also just like I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a way to quantify it, though, because sometimes I'll look at something like, well, this is just because it's this extreme metal. I don't know that I need it on vinyl. But sometimes like this, I'll like this seems something about it seems perfect on vinyl. And then you go listen to it and it kind of backs that up. I mean, I have that Master of Puppets and the Kill 'Em All.
The new
on
one?
Their recent the recent pressings. So
recommended?
Yeah, they sound great.
OK. Is there anything that you that's my whole thing is like. My point is that I've never had them on vinyl. Is there anything actually I'm missing with that type of music that you're like, man, because that's the whole thing too, is I'll get into the whole like obsessiveness about like finding the perfect sound and everything like that. Like did it do anything except for the experience and having it and what?
Well, that's just it. Typically, if I'm buying a record like that, it's an album that I like almost all the way through.
Right.
And with new when I'm buying because there's a price point to this brand new vinyl that it's like I won't pick something up that if I'm just not a big fan is all I'm getting at. I'm not going to buy I don't know, an album that I only like a couple songs off of. Like, it might sound great, those couple songs, but to me, sure. I don't need it that bad.
Okay.
For vinyl, because, it takes so much work. the whole ritual of it, you want to be able to play it from beginning to end,
Right.
So.
Okay. But so basically nothing more.
It's probably more of that than it is that it's metal or country or whatever.
Okay. All right. My turn.
I remember when I was younger, I would buy vinyl used because it was so cheap because it had one song I wanted, and I remember how inconvenient that was at times. It's like, well, I really want to hear that one Elton John song, but do I really want to fucking fire up the old turntable just to play the Blood Lies or Bleeding in My Hands one time?
Exactly. You got to run over there before it goes into Sweet Pain.
Exactly. Anyway, yeah, your turn. What's up?
Okay, so as you know, you're a big fan of Blame It on the Boom Boom by Black Stone Cherry, yes?
Their best song, easily.
So anyway, this
Who
is not,
isn't?
Exactly. But what other things can you blame it on?
The broom broom. If the floor is dirty, you can blame it on the broom broom.
Okay. If a car goes fast, you can blame it on the zoom zoom.
No, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. How did that not work? That's what a car does. Vroom? What about vroom?
Yeah, maybe vroom vroom.
Okay. Vroom vroom. Okay, anyway. But this is not that album, but they started randomly. They started putting out some EP.
I'm glad we talked about it then.
Thank you. No, this is Blackstone Cherry still. But it's a Black to Blues Volume 2. And they put out a couple EPs the last couple years. This one was one that I completely missed prior, but they had on sale for like $9. This thing is blue vinyl. And I was going to ask the Bruce, I specifically grabbed this one. And by the way, this is just a jam. Six songs, and they're blues songs, except for one I've never heard them before, so they're new to me. I'm not the big of a blues fan, but the guitars in this absolutely rip. Beautiful blue vinyl, and it's a 45. It's 45 speed. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the best sounding vinyls that I have of any.
That's why they press it that way.
But my point is that when you see these doubles, I was so impressed by this, and it's the only like 12 inch that's actually on 45 that I have. I wonder why they don't do it more often, because there's definitely ones that they put on a double. Can you tell me what, maybe you can break that down? Because it seems like that would be a good idea. Because there's sometimes an album that's maybe 45 minutes long. They put it on two discs, but why not putting it on 45 like this then?
Well, it's a faster speed, so there's less, I don't know, let's just call it data, less information in the space that the needle travels. That means they can put more detail, more definition in it.
Right.
You know, since you don't seem to have a problem with downloading something locally from a streaming service, I'm not sure how it makes much difference to your ears.
I don't understand where this is going all the time. I've never disputed that having more data is better. You're just mad that they even do it at all. But my point is, I'm just saying, like, why isn't that there's so many things.
Well, you can put less music on one side. That's the easy answer there.
Anyway, I don't know if it's a cost. My whole question is if it's a cost.
Yeah, it'll cost twice as much. Well, not quite twice as much, but yeah.
No, I'm saying that there's a bunch of ones that just because they can be on two discs is my point. They put them on two discs, even though the album is 40 minutes. Okay, so maybe that's 10 minutes aside or three songs. There's tons I have. For example, Def Leppard, where it's 15 minutes aside. You're telling me that you couldn't make that a 45? For Hysteria?
Sure. I mean, you got to remember, too, they also think about, and I don't know that this is the decision-making, but, you know, the whole sound deck degrading as it gets towards the middle of the record, maybe they want to avoid that by doing it that way, too. I mean, I don't know. I'm with you for the most part.
I'm just
when
curious
you're done,
of why. Yeah, go ahead. I'm done. I'm done with that. If you want to break that down.
Well, I have Foo Fighters' Wasting Light on double vinyl, and this is also 45.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And it sounds fucking immaculate. The one thing is that, like, and I would assume that if they're going to go that route, they're going to spend the time, you hope so anyway, to properly master it. I couldn't imagine, I can't remember what I was going to say there, you know, that you would spend the time to make sure it's 45, but also not do proper, mastering. So, which has to be done in real time, which I think, you know, confuses some people a little bit because it's kind of a technical geeky end of shit, but it is a great sounding record. Since I got it, I should probably show it, huh? You got it's basically just the album. No bonus tracks or anything like that. I believe it's just black vinyl. It is. Got these kind of, I don't know, maybe a little, I don't remember what artwork's in the CD, but this is one of the sleeves.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I bought this, I don't know, more just because I was in the rack at Cheapo, and I was like, eh, you know what, I could do some Foo Fighters, so I don't know. Wasn't finding anything else, apparently. But,
gotcha.
Because, you know, I have the record, but now I have another one.
So, and that kind of goes to, like, that. Do you want to go more into that other one you just said?
What's that?
I said, did you want to go into more on that one at all, or no?
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's one of my favorite records of all time. It's definitely, I think, their best album. I'm always pleased when I can bring it home and it's like a recent pressing of anything. Maybe we should get into that a little bit, because the time to properly master vinyl is not a guarantee with a lot of stuff that's going on right now. That's kind of the benefit of buying, you know, used vinyl, stuff that came out, I would say, up to 1990. It was just part of the standard manufacturing process.
It was something you had to do.
Mastering it and manufacturing are two different things, so I want to make sure I clarify that. I'm just saying it didn't get to the manufacturer if it wasn't properly mastered and tested and all that kind of stuff. So, and that clearly is not the case now.
And that's what I was going to ask is like, I guess not ask, but one of my comments of me supporting new rock acts, which is kind of disappointing, is that's what I wanted to do. It's like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy the physical product, do all this. And sometimes it leaves something to be desired where no joke, there are certain ones that I have here in my collection that, yes, the slow bit streaming version sounds better than the actual vinyl.
Oh, I have one that I bought recently that the MP3 that came with it free blows the vinyl away.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's yeah, actually, like, shocking. And it's a disservice to them, because the people that are buying this, I understand there might be an extra step in expense, or maybe it's just shitty manufacturing. And I can go to two that mystify me.
I don't think it's manufacturing, man.
No? Not at all.
No. No. Okay. I mean, if it's a manufacturing thing, that means most of them are probably good, and you got a bad copy.
What was the average? Was the weight 140 back in the day? Like, when average you would go to record
store?
No
idea. I didn't even hear about weights until 180 came out.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, whatever. The thinner. I'm saying, okay. So you think it's just all about the mastering, not the actual plant?
Absolutely. When it comes to sound quality, that's where it's done. I mean, the mastering process is you have a machine, and you basically you play the record like on the actual recorded master tapes, and then it actually carves well, they call it an acetate, that it basically it's a vinyl record, you know what I mean? And then you listen to that, and you listen to it in a studio setting, and you make notes, too much here on this one song, something like that, too high, too low. And then people that are trained to do that, they know what they're looking for, what, you know, what to listen for. And then you tweak those, and then you do another one, and then you might tweak it after that. It might, sometimes it probably comes together quicker than others. It probably depends on how good the guy doing it is. But that process takes time. It literally cannot be accelerated. Now, I guarantee in this modern day and age, they have some kind of quick set stuff. You know, I don't know, like easy setting thing. They just rip everything through and it covers 90% of what they're trying to get at. But I guarantee this Foo Fighters one was done properly. Right. That Slipknot one, same way, too. All the Kiss reissues that I've been raving about from Universal Music, whatever they did it right, because they sound better than the CD remasters. You know, and they sound better than the original vinyl, if you ask me. There is effort being taken somewhere, but, you know, clearly the quality control is not a mandate as it probably was back in the day.
No. And one of the things that spoiled it for me was one of the first ones that I got, and it was like, okay, this is the kind of packaging that I was looking for. Yes, this is from last year, but the Ghost...
That one was definitely done proper as far as mastering.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the packaging, the everything you can think of. This is what I think the vinyl experience should be. And yes, Ghost is going to be a bigger band, but they have a ridiculously, you know, huge poster that comes with it too. If you're a fan of this album or thinking about maybe getting it on vinyl, but the actual sound of it is unbelievable. This is the one that I use to actually calibrate if I'm messing around with stuff, to just the end.
It is immaculate, and it's beautiful too. Look at that!
I mean,
thing.
Look at this. Just
that's what I was supposed to get from my first Kiss album, the 45th edition. That's not what I got.
I think it's called. What did they call this?
What it's smoke.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it looks great, and this is the other thing too. Is this is not a 180? So the 180 thing, I think, seems to me a lot of time is marketing. Because this is just a normal weight one. I mean, it's not a 180, whatever weight that is. And it sounds
The 180 has nothing to do with sound quality. Right. I don't think there's any conspiracy there. It helps probably with warping.
Right. But it's a sexy thing to talk about. You know, it always says, it always supposed to sound like that is what is going to make it better when it's on the hype sticker. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, but it feels good in your, you know, it's got a little more girth to it. And,
right.
I don't know. But yeah, it probably has some minor benefits as far as like any type of slippage on the platter. I don't know.
Right, and then the that also comes with same thing. They didn't even this could have been just a black too, but it has a 45 of two cover songs. It's a Sin, which I think you just recently featured on the show, maybe. Yeah. But that also is that type of vinyl too. So. Point being is they did it right, and it's I mean, when I've had people there that even say like whatever your record player, then I would play them like, god damn, that sounds great. So then you have, on the other end of it, you'll have, which sounds okay, just to put it, here's an example. Is this one of our mascots, or whatever you want to call it? Of course. Danko Jones. This vinyl, from the packaging to this, it's a beautiful blue vinyl, all that stuff, sounds all right. It's maybe an MP3, would you say?
Yeah. My MP3 sounds better than the vinyl, but it's not one of the worst sounding ones. It is not.
But I'm just saying. But here's, you get it too, and you're like, this is kind of like that same thing too. Like it's an awesome presentation, and just the fact that they have like Danko is like a toy kit, and the kids putting it together and punching it out from the diecast or whatever is a cool. That's the kind of stuff I miss. Like all that I didn't even notice because it was so small, the picture online. So anyway.
Well, exactly. Yeah, when you rent your music, you don't get the all
No,
the
you
details.
Don't. I mean, those JPEGs, you know, the 300 by 300 loses some of the detail. But what I'm saying is that the product attached to this should outweigh, it should be quality. That's all I'm saying.
Well, right, and that's kind of, this would be an example of the low end. This just came out from Bob Mould from Husker Du.
Okay.
His new album, Blue Hearts. Amazing song on here called American Crisis. This is Angry Bob, which is my favorite. He just goes very, I don't know. If you're not familiar with it, it's kind of hard to describe. It is a cool package. Not colored vinyl, though. They did release it on a blue vinyl. I went with the black. Typically, if I'm given the choice of the two, I'll stay away from the color.
So you still think that there's an issue there? Or no?
I'm saying if I get presented with two choices and one's black and one's colored, I'm going to take that. They have definitely figured out whatever the issue was with colored vinyl back in the day. Because like even that Ghost one is one of the best sounding vinyls.
Good point.
I've ever played. So my bias is gone. But if I get both of them together, like I said, they're side by side in a store, I'm probably going to pick black anyway. This sounds horrible. This sounds just above AM radio grade quality. I almost think something happened. But thankfully it came with a download card, because then I could actually listen to the record and enjoy it.
What mystifies me is, but maybe he has not a huge artist, but that's an artist that should know what the fuck is going on, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I would agree. I don't know how much time he spends, you know, with the quality control, but you know, you think he'd care.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Here's the one that I'll
Danko
go with.
Too. You think he'd give a damn? You know, he's a fucking big vinyl guy.
Oh my god! Yeah, that kind of stuff. And then okay, so sometimes like with a Ghost album, the actual experience of it makes it better. Like I enjoy that. It's actually a true album. It has a start, a finish, it has different things. It's a perfect flow. So if I was going to say like album of the year for that year, probably been that, even though there's certain, you know what I'm trying to say. So the new Marilyn Manson mixed across the board reviews for that. I was really excited about it because he was partnering with Shooter Jennings, who's not just country, but he's a very eclectic guy. And I knew that it was going to be produced well, it was going to be innovative, it was probably going to be harking back to the Mechanical Animals sound that, personally for me, that's my favorite. So I went out and bought it. I bought the special edition at Target right here, still wrapped, actually. And, you know, it said it came with like a, whatever, some kind of, I thought it was going to be more like Ghost, but it's basically gray or what have you. Yeah. But this is the one that took me down a rabbit hole of buying a new needle, because it's I was like, okay, this is definitely an album that I think has a start finish. I like the flow. I'm a big fan of this album. But it's made by fucking Loma Vista Recording Company, which I'm not familiar with. This thing is so flat, so it's not the AM radio you're talking about, but there's nothing there. Like I was like, this is what I was expecting from a producer like Shooter Jennings, an artist the size of Marilyn Manson. And it is so underwhelming, but it's like it's the opposite. This is actually probably going to be sold back because the MP3 I have is better. And by the way, also, when you're paying 20, you can never get this for anything less than $25 or $27. No MP3 download. That is a sin. I think that should be included.
Should be automatic. That's one when given the option, I went with the CD.
Marilyn Manson?
Yeah. Yeah. I just was like, I don't know. I may have actually got the vinyl if I thought the album was better than I did, but
gotcha.
We were talking about it earlier. So, but give me this whole stylist thing is something that
beautiful
is kind of amazing to me that you recently bought a $100 stylus, one of those, what are they called?
Ortofon.
Ortofon. I'm just curious
the Ortofon
because
2M Red for those who are listening.
So. Something wrong with your stereo system? What? Like, what were you? What was going on that you're like, holy cow, this sounds like fucking ass. I probably need to spend four times what I have for a cartridge in here. That seems kind of the opposite way you would go.
So I have the whole thing. First off, I am obsessive about my setup for my stereo. I've had these Klipsch speakers from. I've always liked Klipsch, like whatever sound in my ears. Have liked, so I have those. I have them all calibrated. I use this whole system that the actual stereo comes with, and I had it set pretty well. And then there are certain albums like Manson and a couple other ones, like basically the ones that I'm talking about, like your Dankos or something like that. I'm like, maybe it's because this needle just can't bring out the gold of this.
So you're going to be one of those guys that has like a special tone arm for certain records.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
that's where you're going with this.
No. I'm saying that like I thought that, you know, I had the stock one that came with it. That probably you use the green Audio Technica is what we're talking about. And then I got this one called Pro Jet Carbon like a year ago that was like maybe $50, and there was a difference between using that. You just pop there really was, and it really had to do with I heard a lot of distorted stuff with vocals. There wasn't as bassy and things like that. So
it's difficult to trust you with your ear and nuances when your standard form of listening is streaming. So I'm like, if that's acceptable, and let's go back to the turntable, you know that Ghost record sounds great, but when you put a different record on, why is your first thought that, like, something must be wrong with my setup and not just this is a poorly mastered record?
Because on those, the reason of this is because of the difference between that ProJet Carbon, which is made with Audio Technica, and the other one. I could definitely tell a difference, and there was not this a good example would be when I got, I'll just go to the next one. I got Def Leppard's Hysteria on double vinyl. Okay, so they came out this year. When it was getting to the big gang vocals, it would start sounding like really, I don't know, distorted or something like that on it. And then so when I switched to the red, it wasn't. It wouldn't be this like.
So you're
fuzzy.
Happy with your purchase?
I'm not sure if it's enough. That's my point.
Maybe you need to buy new speakers.
Well, this is old Steve Martin routine. If you want to drop that in there.
No, but seriously, stereo me bought. So I'm listening to this thing, and then I heard the quad system with the four speakers, and I said, "This is it. This is great." So I got rid of the stereo and got the quad, and this was the sound I was looking for. But I listened to it a couple of days. I said, "Hey, this sounds like shit." So I went out and I got the dodecaphonic with the 12 speakers, and this was more to my liking for a while. But the ear gets sophisticated pretty fast, and I got rid of that. Got the millophonic with the 1,000 speakers, and I'm listening to it. I say, hey, this sounds like shit, too. The other one was shit one. This is shit two. So finally I got the Googlephonic, the highest number of speakers before infinity. Sounds like shit. So I said, hey, maybe it's a needle.
Here's a new angle that'll save you a little time and money and probably be better for your soul.
What's that?
Don't buy Def Leppard on vinyl. Just don't. Don't buy Def Leppard at all.
Is that just a funny comment?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. So that's my point, is that this is the same thing. It's like Def Leppard started making me go crazy because I don't think that it's any better on the Hysteria on vinyl than it was just listening to it on CD as it is, because I think that's one of these bands that actually worsens the listening experience because it's so overproduced by Mutt Lang and things like that.
I would agree 100%.
Okay, because I listened to it and I'm like, I thought I was going to hear some amazing extra stuff because the production is so you know, so renowned for this. And we do appreciate this. Let's go listen to our episode. But that is one of the things I'm like, it is better in a digital format, I think, than vinyl for that kind of stuff. On the flip side, you listen to some Stones, you're like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mutt Lang produced Pyromania, and that sounds amazing. I have an original pressing of that.
Okay.
But that is not quite as slick as Pyromania. I think anybody would admit that.
Yeah.
Mutt Lang produced Back in Black. That sounds killer.
Okay. Maybe it's that particular one, then.
It's not the producer so much as it is the actual production. Even though it's the same guy, but you know, he really went over the top with the slickness. And look, I'll flat out say this: I don't think, as far as actually getting the music, the CD will give you more of a wide expansion of it than vinyl will. For me, vinyl, I want it to sound really good, but I'm not going to do this thing where it's like, first of all, that's the thing with vinyl, is that like you have to invest so much just to get it decent sounding. You want to just hold on a second? Jesus Christ.
I'm giving visuals for the people. This is bonus for YouTube.
You're distracting
people.
I'm like, I'm trying to stay on topic here. So okay, CD versus vinyl, you have to expend so much more money. We've talked about it before, to get just a decent sounding setup. And I have that. It's a pretty, I've invested about $600-$700 in the whole thing. And I think it sounds amazing. It's great. But I'm not going to chase tone arms or styluses. I'll replace the stylus when it gets worn out. You know what I mean? The turntable I replaced, I've had since 1988, and I put a $7 stylus in there from Amazon. It was like a knockoff Audio Technica, and it was amazing how much better it sounded after, like, I basically beat the shit out of the one that was in there, that was fucking, you know, 30 years old. But then when I got this new setup, it took it to the next level, and I'm like, well, fuck, this is 10 times better than what was 10 times better, so I'm not going to fucking overthink this stuff too much. I want to put a record on. I want to sit back and relax. I don't want to sit there and constantly go, are those high ends a little too cranky?
And that's where I have to stop. Yes, that's my point, is that I know I have gone into the crazy world of going into forums and stuff like that where I never thought I would be. I'm like, why am I doing this? And I need to
take
it back.
So you have
off.
A disorder.
I really do, yes. And
okay,
I think it's a disorder.
I think it's
called,
enough for me.
Yeah. So I'll put it in there, but it's Projet or something carbon. I'll put it on there, but that, I do know there's a difference there. My point is that little $50 upgrade that I got a year ago, I can't tell a difference between that and the Ortofon.
Okay.
Do you see my meaning? So I think that's your point, is that if you're going to make – you can make a jump. I think it does sound better than the regular cartridge that comes with it. But I think if you're going to hear a big difference, you got to go like big time, like as much as your actual player cost to begin with.
And I know I told you, and I think I might have shared this on the show before, but if not, I'll make it quick either way.
Yeah.
There's a place here locally called the Needle Doctor that services all your turntable needs,
mm-hmm.
And they go all the way up to the $50,000 set. So when I was in there, they have actually, you know, this ART that's super popular now, the one that we both have, or Audio Technica, I mean. And they have this one it was like $27,000, and then another $7,000 for the tone arm, and then the stylus and everything was more beyond that. And so I was like, can you play these two back to back? I just got it. And I could hear a difference, but it was like, that is not even close to a $30,000 difference in sound quality. It may be a $20 difference.
Right.
And so the fact that you can buy a stylus for, I think our stylus retails at about $39.99 that comes with that thing. That I just couldn't see spending $60 more enhancing my personal experience any more than it already is. It's already in the sweet spot for me. So
Yep. So that's what I've realized after all this. And Amazon will be very happy that I'm done with my experiments, because I just buy and return the needles.
Yeah, okay.
But with that said, do you have another one you want to go through? I think it's your
turn.
No,
go for it. You were distracting me with that horrible Def Leppard inside record. No, seriously, let's get into it. It's a great record. We both love it.
No, just that I actually do like, with this, you know, it sounds, let's just say it sounds about the same as the CD or whatever, but I do like, you know, having it split into four sides. I do think that that's But, you know, that's something, too, that I missed. You know what I mean? Like, having the different sides and things like that. Like, yeah. I do like I like the actual splitting into four sides for certain albums, too. I'm not sure if I have a great example of that, of what makes it better. But I could just move. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
No. If you want to bring it back up, show the people. Yeah, sure. Get a better look at it again.
Listen, if you can get this for – I'm sure they're going to have some Black Friday specials. They had this thing on Amazon where – this is where I went a little crazy – was – buy two, get one free for vinyls for certain bands. And they had things for like Priest, AC/DC, this, and stuff like that. So you could, except for this one, you could find like AC/DC ones for Back in Black. $18, pay for two $18 ones and get one free. It didn't have to be the same band. I'm just saying, go on there. I know you're supposed to support your local shop, but goddamn, when you're paying $13 average or whatever for a brand new album, that's great. Anyway, so this is one of them I got on there. It's usually like 35. It's got the whole gatefold where it has the guys that you find ugly, as you said on our show. Before.
They are not as attractive as they're thought to be. Other than Steve Clark, good looking dude.
On vinyl? I know you're not that big of a... Okay, which ones do you have? Can you recall?
I have the one with the zipper.
Sticky.
And then Let It Bleed.
That's...
Oh, and then I have a really old one, too. Back when they were just one of their first handful. I can't remember what it's called. It's on London Parlophone or whatever.
Okay. So when they said that Goat's Head Soup was coming out, reissued and everything... Mm-hmm. That's one of them that is that run of Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, Exile, and then Goat's Head. That four album run, fucking for me, is one of the best runs that a band has ever had.
Okay.
So, but Goat's Head was like on the lesser of that, but still, there's some great stuff on it. So, when they said they were reissuing it, I saw randomly, and it wasn't like everywhere. I don't know where I even stumbled across this. But have you ever seen this badass album cover as an original? So this was supposedly the alternative. It actually is a goat's head in soup.
Yeah.
in there. And I was like, that
Satan.
Is, yeah, man. I'm like, that is pure evil. I got to order that version. So I found it from a company called, it's nowhere local. It's called Merch Bar, which I've never been on before. And this thing is a... double album. So here's like the original. I think this was the original. Yeah, this one, where it has Mick all the way to that side. That was the original cover. Then it would have Keith on the back. But it has a bunch of unreleased tracks, which, you know, has all those alt versions that you hear like once and you're like, whatever. But some of them are actually pretty good. But my God, this is the one that that vinyl is made for. First off, clear vinyl.
Yeah. Probably my favorite.
Oh, you like clear the best?
If you want to go with the color, even though it's not a color.
Okay. And it actually shows everybody else that played on the album, too, because there's, you know, like Exile, there's a big cast of characters on there. But just incredible. Like, I'm sure that just the regular black vinyl, which I think you get for $22 on Amazon, sounds great, too. But if you are even half a fan of this album, I mean, a heartbreaker on here, it's just... I'm never going to call it doo 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 doo. I'm calling it Heartbreaker. Right, but
yeah, you struggle with album or song titles that don't fit perfectly in the little.
No, I'm not a fan of the parentheses. It's doo 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 doo. Heartbreaker. But highly recommend. Really cool packaging, and that took forever to show up. So it's not. So if you're gonna get it, maybe try it on this. But what do you think? Think they would have scared the kids with that album cover back in the day? A little too much.
I would have loved it. Yeah, yeah. That would have been awesome. I would have, if my sister would have had that as a child, that would have freaked me out more than that Queen News of the World cover.
God,
saw that, I was probably 8 years old, and I was like, I couldn't stop. But it freaked the hell out of me.
What? News of the World just looks cheesy to me, like that robot or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, I'm sure you looked at it when you were 6 years old. Yeah. I remember, I will tell you this, though. When I actually heard the record, I'm like, this does not match the packaging at all.
You're next. What album you got? What do you want to talk about here?
I didn't think I'd get, because when Zakk Wylde said he was re-recording the first Black Sabbath record with Zakk Sabbath, initially, it was rolled out as like a limited run of 500, and then when I first heard about it, it had a pre-order link, and when I went to it, it was already sold out. So it went pretty quick. So I just on a whim was out, doing on a weekend, just stopped in at one of the local record stores, and they had it. And now I don't know if the original thing was going to be called Vertigo, but I was super pleased. It was basically like I'm of course leaving with that.
What
I don't know. Something.
What is that? Is that a reference of anything that's on the original Black Sabbath? Is there any connection?
It was released on Vertigo Records. Is the tie in there?
Okay.
But I don't know. Not a fan of yellow vinyl. So yeah, it's got the Vertigo record label. That's that. There is from Vertigo Records, and I believe Black Sabbath 13. They went back to Vertigo. At least they used that art, but. Yeah, this is something that I think we talked about. I would not buy this on CD. I would not stream it. I have zero interest in any of that. This is about, this is like manufactured for the vinyl experience, that whole process, the ritual of everything, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's kind of an updated overall sound, but...
let me see the track listing.
It's a spot-on... re-recording of the official U.S. release.
That's what I feel. Okay, so it just goes Black Sabbath, Wizard on one side, and then everything else on the second? Or is that not accurate?
Well, it's you got that Wasp song, Behind the Wall of Sleep,
right.
Basically NIB. And then side two is Wicked World, A Bit of Finger, Sleeping Village, and Warning. So.
Gotcha.
And weirdly, this album has always just kind of... I'm talking about the debut Black Sabbath record. It'll always be one of my favorite ones. I bought... the repressing of that, I don't know, a couple years ago. That was one of the earlier, new vinyl that I would have purchased. I just like listening to it, and I don't even think as a record, it really flows that great. You know what I mean? But there's just something very raw and kind of haunting about it that it always takes me back to kind of that same vibe and feeling. So I dig it. I just picked this one up, an underrated record.
perfectly
from a non-Aerosmith.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
I don't know what you said.
I said perfectly rated.
Oh, from a non-Aerosmith fan.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it's not a great album. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But this gets shit on a little bit. There's some really good stuff on here. I'd read the titles, but they're backwards. So, but no.
What a great idea that was, right?
Yeah, well, I knew that's where you were going to go with it. I like it. I think it's cool. Let the music do the talking. Of course, it was originally on a Joe Perry solo project, but they kick it at.
That's a good song.
It's a pretty good one. My Fist, Your Face. Yep. Actually, the whole side one I can listen to for the most part. Now, I like it so much that if it was $1 more, I probably wouldn't have bought it. You're going to like this one,
Before we go past that for the Aerosmith one, Rockin' a Hard Place, would you buy it for $10 new?
Oh, new? Yeah, I might even buy it used for that if it was a good quality pressing.
So you like that one too, decently? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They've had that in sale on Amazon. You won't go there, but I was like, I still don't like that album enough to buy it new for $10. That was a deal they had.
I can live without it. That's kind of where I'm at with that. A lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, there might be exceptions, but I'm really I did one where I bought like three records on one of those ridiculous $10 sales, and then I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm just giving money to Walmart or Amazon or something like that.
Right.
And I don't really want it. So if I don't want it for more than $10, then I don't want it for $10 at Amazon.
That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Yep.
Yeah, you'll find it used. You actually did, didn't you?
What's that?
Rocks.
Oh, for Rocks, for example. Yeah, I ran into like a copy for like $2, and it was fine. And it sounds fucking great. It's fucking Rocks, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just if the cover is worn down, that they lose some value. So, well, that's what I'm getting at.
I'm saying it still sounded good. It still sounds as good or better than most new releases, and it's in shitty condition. But
let me hammer through a few of these 80s metal classics, hair metal kind of stuff that are kind of more.
How many of these are Keel?
None.
Okay, go ahead.
A band called Icon. Here's a Japanese pressing with Still Has the Obi.
Who is Helix? Is anybody for those that aren't familiar like me, is there anybody that was a major player that went to a different, is it just a band that you like, or is there like a,
yeah, they had three or four records. This is their debut album, 1984. But yeah, if you didn't, I don't know if there's nobody that went on to do anything else. But, you know, they were a major label. They weren't like some kind of indie deal that I found in a store. From Canada, Helix.
Oh, that's right. That's the...
Walking the Razor's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
These were both bought at that store I told you that cleans the records up if it's over $4.
I think Craig Smith works there, right?
Yeah.
Just cleaned them off.
And this one has our show's anthem. It's a title track of Heavy Petton's record Rock Ain't Dead. This is one song deep, but it's kind of a unique 80s collectible.
Is actually the song Rock Ain't Dead any good?
Yeah, that's the only song I like on it.
Why have we never played it?
We have.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, God, I thought he'd actually dig that more than he did. He didn't even comment on it.
Can you pull the episode? Was that
it was early.
3 years ago? Okay.
That was 2 or 3 years ago at least. Anyway, well, what about you? Have you bought any used stuff, or is it all new?
Most of the used stuff I have is just from that Craig Smith haul that amazingly I was able to unload most of it. I have no idea how to get credit when I went back in. So no, not that much, but I can hit a few. I can do a few quick hitters for stuff that I never thought I'd see on vinyl. So since we were harkening back to earlier episodes. You know, one of the reasons I started the show was running into bands that kind of just revived my my hope in rock and roll. So this is a very small band out of Ireland called Trucker Diablo, which I featured on the show a few times.
Yep.
But this is the, I didn't remember that, Songs of Iron. Okay. So oddly enough, I found this, and by the way, if you want just a straight up rock and roll album, great, great band. Just Trucker Diablo, Songs of Iron, if you're listening out there, get it. And it's a very basic pressing, but it was like $15, amazingly, I found it. And, you know, here's a, actually came with a poster of the band. And oddly enough, it's actually printed by a label called Ripple Music, which is out of Broad Ripple, Indianapolis, section of Indianapolis, near where I used to live. Another one. Now, have you heard of the Las Vegas before?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nikki Sixx's pet project.
Yep. Exactly. So there was a one and done, pretty much. But they put out one and done for that label for 11/7. Yeah. They were dropped immediately after that. So they put out
every band on that label is. So.
Oh my God! Yeah, it was pretty much that was his. The Motley, what was it called? The Motley. The Fest, Crewfest.
Crewfest.
Okay. Crewfest was basically just him shilling everybody that was on that fest was on his label, essentially, yeah. For the most part. Anyway, for the Las Vegas, their first album sounded pretty much like Motley Crue-ish sleaze rock. The second one was more Aerosmith. It had one of the worst album covers, but I was shocked to find this. I found this at the local store new.
Mm, nice.
So it's Bad Decisions. This one has, I highly, just go check this album out. It's very Aerosmith vibe. Tracks like The Other Side, title track Bad Decisions, and It's So Easy. Just check those out as little gateway drugs. But the fact that this makes no sense. This shows that their business decisions make that. First off, the album that they're called The Las Vegas and they're from Chicago. Makes no sense. Then this album came out in like 2010, I think. How the fuck is this on a colored vinyl to begin with out there? And it was pressed in 2015. Who's desiring this 5 years later? So I found it new for $10 at the local store. That was just a most random thing. I had to buy it. Even if I didn't, I was like, how does this even exist?
Right.
So one of those things. And then one more from new. But I will say that these so far, by the way, both of those sound pretty damn good. And here's another one of you know, this is one of my albums of the year last year. Mm-hmm. Texas Hippie Coalition, High in the Saddle. This one I actually got and returned a copy that I had on Amazon because it was actually, I think, like you said, it's not the manufacturing process, but that one was. It was like something like the first part of it. This is what I call gobstopper colored vinyl. First off, a little fun fact. Do you know those mystery flavors, the dum-dums? When you get the dum-dums and it's mystery, you don't know what it is? Do you know what that is? Do you know why they even have that? Okay, here you go. It's because the fact that's the shit that's left in the bottom of the vat, and they just decided not to throw it away, all the different colors, and then they put it out as a mystery flavor. That's what I think this fucking vinyl is my point. This is all the colors left.
That's nice.
All these are all the colors that were left on the bottom.
Yeah. I don't think you're right on that. The mystery flavor is you don't know what flavor it's going to be until you open it. It is just
just a bunch of colors. It's a bunch of random colors sometimes. I'll send you the article on the Dum Dum Factory. That's what it is. It was maximizing throughput, not leaving anything behind.
All right.
So those are the three like bands that I'd like to, you know, support and whatnot. But all three of those sound as good as the Danko or better, but could be better is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like what's next on your list?
Well, I'll kind of going in line with you, a lesser known band, Scorpion Child. I was surprised to find this used because of what we talk about. Rock fans don't really take their records back, especially when you're this level of rock fan. This is not like returning a pile of Rolling Stones records that, you know, you found when your cousin died or something like that.
Right. That's like finding Dead Daisies kind of.
Yes, exactly. And this is a kind of a cool, I don't know, translucent green.
Oh, stop moving. Oh, that's green. Interesting. Doesn't look green from here, but cool.
I don't know if that would help at all.
Does that sound? Did they do a good job with that? I assume that's a band you expect to master it. A pretty good.
This is a pretty decent sounding. It's not. I don't know. It's just good. I didn't have any complaints about it. I never owned the CD, so I don't know what it was supposed to sound like. It does seem to have a little bit of a drier production, but anyway. So.
Now,
any record store day purchases? Any exclusive record store day exclusives?
I attempted. I actually went to four stores looking for that Skid Row one.
Yeah.
That Skid Row.
That one went quick.
Slave to the Grind. And if I had thought about it more, I would have put more money out to our community. You know what I'm saying? Like, I probably could have had friends of the show grab one when they're there if I'd sent cash or something like that. Because it seems like we have a lot of people out doing the same thing that we know.
Yeah.
But you kind of look for that a little bit. First
a little bit yeah too. So yeah, I did pick up the Alice Cooper Live at the Glasgow Theater. This is actually a really cool printing thing that's kind of going, it's kind of new, not the embossing part, but the and you won't be able to get this on video, you kind of have to have it in your hands, but they call it soft touch laminate, and it has kind of a rubbery soft coating on it. The Rob Halford book has it on that cover too, but we just print like, for the first time this last year, we actually did a project that used it. This black and the silver emboss is actually slammed on top of the red paper.
Interesting.
So that is actually, it's not an actual print. So everything is very blocky, which I love that kind of dynamic. I don't know if I showed the back or not, but this sounds really good. It's not an album that was like recorded to be released live, so they did a great job of cleaning it up. I like the set list on it. I think it's pretty decent. Alice doesn't sound trashed or anything like that. I know you needed Joey Haney's approval to enjoy, accept this as a decent record before, even though I had already said that.
When I go to the doctor, I always get a second opinion.
Yeah. Well, we covered earlier that you needed five. So who was I first? And if so, who was 2, 3, and 4 before you finally got the okay from Joey Haney to say it's worth it?
Well, you're always first, Bucko. And then I just need reinforcement. What I always say is, if I'm going to get,
you can probably, hey, real quick, you can probably find this one still. They overpressed it.
I actually look for it. Can you give me the track? Run through the track listing really quick, if you could, because for the Alice Cooper fans listening. Because it's 1982, right? Or 81.
Yep.
And this is a Special Forces tour, I think.
It is.
All right, go ahead.
So you got Who Do You Think We Are, Model Citizen, Go to Hell, Guilty, 18, Cold Ethel, Only Women Bleed, No More Mr. Nice Guy, Clones, Under My Wheels, I Never Cry, 7 and 7 Is, Grim Facts, Pain, Billion Dollar Babies, Generation Landslide, and of course, School's Out.
Does it list who's in the band, or is there anything else in there? Is that colored?
The band members is Alice Cooper, obviously. John Nitziger on guitar, Mike Panera on guitar, Wayne Cook on keyboards, Eric Scott bass, and Jan Juvena on drums. So as far as I'm concerned, I have no idea who any of those guys are.
I was supposed to say, like, I mean, we were joking about, like, people at L.A. Guns band, and I know this is a different thing, but I'm going to say 200 people have been in Alice Cooper's.
Oh, I wonder. That's got to be a Wikipedia page for that.
As a segue for that, around late 90s, I started to get it really into Alice Cooper, and I had, but I had, wasn't to a level of like a Kiss or something like that where I knew all the albums that that artist had, because it was just wasn't as readily available, or I just wasn't looking for it. So one day, all of a sudden, I realized that Alice Cooper has these five albums that I've never seen in stores. I've never heard of them, and I can order them through mail, and that was like... like that one, Special Forces, you know, Zipper Catches Skin, and From the Inside. And so the only version of From the Inside I've ever had is this really shitty CD version. Did you have it on CD or anything?
No, but I'm surprised you said you couldn't. I mean, this is an album I've ran into at used record stores pretty much since I started, like, going to them.
Really? Okay. I never remember seeing it in my used store back when I was shopping for it. So it was
like the ones you were talking about. I get the whole Dada Zipper Catch a Skin.
Yeah.
What's the Special Forces? And what's one that Clones is on? That's a weird one too.
That's God damn it. It's Flush the Fashion, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So those are ones that like I get that I never really I thought Alice Cooper was done at that time, but Lace when he came back in '86, I thought he was gone for like 7-8 years.
For whatever reason, Lace and Whiskey to Constrictor was like vanished off of anywhere in Indiana, at least.
Okay.
For stores that I've ever seen. But anyway, so From the Inside always was interesting, but I'd only seen like just the CD thing, and even the cover looked odd to me because it had that line in the middle of his face. And I figured it was an album thing, but my point is that they just reissued on green vinyl, which I'm about to show you, at that record store near me. This is where I started. It was my utopia. The fact that I found From the Inside there, I was like, okay, it was sealed. But like, is this actually have all the stuff that I've... The fact that from a printing job, I just think this is such a really cool production that they did. Do you own this?
No, but I mean, I have the CD. But okay. I've always loved that kind of... they call it a double gate where it opens on the front end there, if you want a printing term.
So From the Inside, for one thing, I think is a... For those unfamiliar, he got together with, I'll just do a quick thing. He got together with Bernie Taupin. So it's basically Elton John's, I don't know if this is band, but he definitely wrote with them. He was on crack at the time, all this kind of stuff. But the main thing is that he went to a mental institution, and then he, for rehab, because they didn't really have your Beverly Hills type things there. And so every character, basically in this picture, if you look at it, is in the actual album, the songs. So the fact that that's there, and then you open this up, and it's got a little... Alice is inside the quiet room. The fact that you open up the back and it's them escaping. Everything sounds however they did this. This is how this album, and I always have had an issue with the production, but this is how it should sound. If you like this album, if you've half liked it and been like, the production is suspect, it still is very glossy. It's definitely his glossiest album. this brings it out. And the packaging, can you think of a packaging that's this? I've never seen anything that everything lines up perfectly like a puzzle. And it besides like here,
no, it's
up in
pretty
three.
Inventive. I can't think. There's definitely other examples. I just can't think of one in my head. But no, that's up there. You know what I mean?
$23 new at the local store. So I was like, fuck yeah. So that was definitely one of my happiest finds.
That's a really cool reissue.
Yeah, and they actually did a bunch. And if you like that 80s period, I didn't know that they redid all of those. Like, they're all, like, if you want Dada, if you're a Dada fan, they have that on, like, Red or something like that. And it's the same guy that does them, too. So, Alice fan, check that out. I know we've been going on for quite a while, so you want to wrap this up here? We figured we'd just geek out and
yeah, you know.
I was expecting more ball-busting for my noobness of getting into it. But it's just as a different – it brings me back.
I think I've cracked on you enough over the course of the show that I don't need to beat a joke into the ground. That's your role.
Oh, yeah. By the way, two pick zero will be coming out soon.
All right, man. Rock is not dead.
It's overpriced and inconvenient.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.